from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. You are sounding really chipper this morning.
Well, you know, I'm taking your lead a little bit. The sun is out, and so I know that Ursula's in a great mood to start a Monday with the sun out.
Absolutely. And not only that, but all is good in the world because my whole family was together over the weekend. So that felt really good.
Looking forward to discussing that. And also, at 9:47 today, Ursula, I got to tell you how I really messed up really bad for Mother's Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You thought you had it all together.
I had planned. I planned it. I had it together. I checked off the list. Checked it twice, made sure Lillian wasn't being naughty at night, all of that, Ursula. And I'm still messed up. I'll explain that at 9:47. But right now, let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And we are going to start this morning with the case of the missing text messages. Lawsuits filed against Seattle over its handling of the protests last summer have revealed that the city is missing text messages from the mayor, the former police chief, the fire chief, and several other SPD leaders. An investigation into a whistleblower complaint also found that Mayor Durkin's office failed to properly handle a series of public records requests, and it discovered that 10 months of the mayor's text messages between August 2019 and June 2020 had gone missing. The city attorney's office is blaming this gap on, this is a quote, a retention setting on Durkin's iPhone. But now they're still trying to figure out how former chief Carmen Best's texts also disappeared. And the fire chief, this is the excuse, apparently was locked out of his phone because of password issues.
Well, contrary to what people might believe, texts don't just go to text heaven. All of these texts, they still exist. If you guys watch Dateline, 48 Hours Mysteries, and all these crime shows the way that I do, you guys know, and you've seen these stories where the phone has been wiped clean, but you guys know that those texts still exist. So the question is going to be this. How bad do they want to find out what was on those texts over the last 10 months? That's number one. Number two, if we go back during that time, and if we remember, one of the things, the conversations was, who made the call to exit the East Precinct down there during or before CHOP started? Mm-hmm. So we were talking about that. And both you and I said, yeah, something's fishy. And by the way, I just want to help everybody remember, it was in the beginning of that, it was the mayor that blamed the chief Carmen Best at that time. And then it was the chief Carmen Best that came back and said, no.
Yeah, she put a video together.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
So we still, you and I, we interviewed Chief Carmen Best. We had her on the show. We still have not gotten to the bottom of who made the call for them to exit the East Precinct. So, Ursula, I just say right back to you. I'll throw it right to you. These text messages, a little bit on the sketchy side, my friend.
A little bit. The fact that it happens to be the very three people who were in charge of all these things that were happening leading up to the creation of CHOP and the abandonment of the East Precinct and then the usage of tear gas during the protests. Yeah, you can't make this up. You know how I like TikTok?
Yes, you do.
This is the song that popped in my head as I was reading this over the weekend. Are you trying to make me believe that these, okay, a retention setting, that's the reason. Oh, no. The fire chief was locked out of his phone because of password issues. Oh, no. We have no idea how Chief Best's text disappeared. You need to try hard. I'm almost embarrassed with the excuses that they came up with. I mean, this is so fishy. It's not even funny. So I'm sure they're going to be recovered.
Hey, Ursula, before we move on, I just thought I'd ask you, have you ever removed text before? Do you know what that's like? Have you ever done that before?
I have, when I thought somehow, oh my gosh, someone's going to look at it and I should just assume. Those moments when I have forgotten that you should always write a text assuming that someone might actually see it.
Oh, okay.
How about you? I know that...
I'm the president.
I'm president and CEO of disappearing texts?
Absolutely. I know what that's like.
I know. It's just so ridiculous. It was not a good weekend for Seattle City Councilwoman Shama Sawant. In a settlement agreement with the Seattle Ethics and Elections Commission, Sawant has now admitted that she did improperly use city money, employees, and resources to get support for that proposed Amazon head tax measure. Sawant is going to pay the city back $3,500, which is actually about twice the amount of city money that she spent to push the measure. Backers of an effort to recall the socialist councilwoman believe that her admission of guilt over the weekend should help persuade voters to remove her from office. And they're actually demanding that she resign. Sawant hasn't commented about the settlement agreement, but she has said she has no plans to step down. And of course, she's not up for re-election until 2023.
Okay, so when I saw the Shama Solidarity Campaign website, and there was a quote on there that says, quote, Shama did not break the law or use city resources to promote a ballot initiative. What big business is really angry about is that the Amazon tax passed. So, was that a lie or was that a misspeak? Because right here, I have highlighted a court, and also in addition to your news story, and this is the most important part, it says, and I highlighted this, Ursula, you'd be proud of me.
Okay.
Sawant admitted to improperly using city money, employees, and other resources to support a proposed ballot measure.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm scratching my head. So if there's someone that's saying, yeah, gee, yeah, she did admit it, but it was only $1,500. And by the way, she paid back double. Then I tell you what. What if I take $5 out of your purse or wallet, but then after you find out, I give you back 10? You going to be happy about that? Again, Ursula, it doesn't take rocket science.
No, this is a woman I think should not be on the city council. Just remember, that same website that you quoted, it defends the opening of City Hall where she opened the doors, used her key, opened the doors, and gave basically all these people a chance to fill up the City Hall during the middle of all the chaos already. Do you remember she also, you know, helped and spoke out at that protest outside of Mayor Durkin's house? Now she's admitting that she did use taxpayer money and resources, et cetera, for something that she shouldn't have. So that is an ethical violation. She has most of her support from outside of this community. I hope that this does give a huge boost to the folks who are trying to get her recalled. It's tough to mount a recall petition, but if you are given the chance to sign up for this, please do. It's because she's not someone who should be staying in office until 2023.
Well, ultimately, it's going to, it's going to come down to the voters. But again, Ursula, I had my highlighter. I had a pink one this morning, by the way. And I just couldn't believe it really said admitted to improperly using city money, employees. And other, I mean, just admit it. I'm like, either things are different now in 2021, because if this was years ago, it'd be like, oh, okay, open and close case.
As more people have gatherings over the weekend or ate out at restaurants for Mother's Day, health officials are worried about the growing COVID case counts in Western Washington. So as of Friday, Pierce County was at 372 per 100,000, which is actually above the phase one limit of 350. At the same time, hundreds of vaccine appointments are going unfilled every day at the Tacoma Dome. Timothy Mays came from Bremerton to get his shot, and he told Cairo 7 TV he was among those who was initially hesitant to get the vaccine.
Mainly because I just wanted to see how the safety end of it played out. And, you know, I've got some relatives that are in the, with the hoax crowd. They're down so far down the rabbit hole that they ain't coming out.
And as you recall, G, last week we were talking about how Pierce County wants to open to phase three, and some Pierce County Democratic lawmakers, along with a few Republicans, are now threatening the governor to call a special session if he doesn't let them open up.
Yeah. And I also wanted to make sure that I approach the topic of vaccinations in a better way. And I need to continue to be better, because we are kind of, I'm not saying we're late in the game, but we're kind of deep into the game of those that are getting vaccinated and then those that are choosing not to get vaccinated. And there are some that just like, hey, you know what? I have my reasons. And you know what? I just want to say that I respect that. And I have to continue to respect that, because I don't want division and fighting. And the one thing, you can't tell adults what to do with their body. So I don't want to get that. But I do want to take this time to just say this. I hope that there are very few that have to find out about the true impact on what COVID can do potentially to your health. That's my story. And as far as the vaccinations, I hope they increase as we go. I do, one last thing, Ursula, I do believe that once they start to open things up more here in the state of Washington, I think that there's a potential of more people jumping on the side of getting vaccinated. There you go.
If they open it up, because then you're saying that they want to take part in activities.
Yes.
Now that everything is opened up.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think
yes.
In our next story, you're going to hear someone who agrees with you on that one. Here's my question, though. If every day appointments are going unfilled at the Tacoma Dome, and some of these other mass vaccination sites are also having these big empty seats and no one coming in, should we not change the strategy at this point then and make it so maybe people don't want to go to those mass vaccination sites? Maybe they want to go, you know, to people they trust, like their healthcare providers or their local pharmacy, and make those available there versus at these big events that are going unfilled. I mean, I understand at the time when they were being organized, there was such a demand for the vaccine. But now that we have them, you know, and by the way, there are countries that are looking at us and shaking their heads and saying, why is it? They would love our problem of having too much vaccine. They would really, I mean, even my sister in Germany was saying, I can't believe that you have all these appointments going untouched and unfilled. Because so many countries, I mean, look at what's happening in India. Look anywhere else, and they're looking at us, and man, that's a U.S. problem.
The coolest thing the other day when I was in Safeway. By the way, this has to do with my disaster of Mother's Day that happened to me. But anyways, I was in Safeway, and as I was getting those chocolate covered strawberries in there, I heard them say over the loudspeaker, hey, we have two more spots available. If you're here for the vaccine, it's Pfizer. Come on up to the pharmacy. And so you're hearing that. And I was like, oh, man, that's great. How easy that you could be able to do that.
Absolutely. So since the beginning of the pandemic, restaurants have been doing all they can to keep their doors open. And now there's this new push by the Washington Hospitality Association for the governor to fully reopen the state by June 15th, which happens to be the date that California is fully reopening. Many restaurant owners say their workers are fully vaccinated already, and they believe that by setting an opening date, it would actually encourage others to get their shots. So June 15th, should you say, let's just open it all up?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Based on?
Based on the fact of continued vaccinations are continuing to happen.
We just got done talking about how some of them are not happening, that people aren't filling up anymore.
Okay. So what would be, at this point in the game, what are we trying to, I mean, we're not going to have zero. right? So that's not going to happen. There's still going to be COVID that is here. According to what Jay Inslee said for his reasoning for the pause for King County and them rolling back, he said that the cases have plateaued. We had someone on from the Hospital Association, the president of that, come on the show, let us know, yes, it has kind of plateaued. So, yes, let's get ready to start moving forward mm-hmm. with things. Bad is going to happen. No question about that. And we want to limit that to the point. But when? The question would be, when are we going to start to open up? And is it going to have to be based on X amount of numbers? And it feels like that's a moving target sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I would love it. I mean, and as someone who is fully vaccinated, I would love it if they were say, okay, if we could even get to 60%. I don't know if that would help, but, you know, recognizing we're never going to get to that herd immunity, but maybe we can get to this and we open because everyone's opening. I think Washington and Hawaii are the only ones still not having some kind of plan to fully reopen. However, I don't believe the governor is going to go for it. Okay, so this was the most talked about athletic feat for the weekend.
DK Metcalf, second from the far right. Second heat of the Nike Men's 100. Metcalf's hanging with them at the moment. It's fairly even. DK's doing a good job. On the inside, though, CJ Ujjar and Mike Rogers. That was close. 10-12, the winning time.
Well, you got to watch that. It was really exciting, but Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf came in dead last in his first pro track and field race, but it was still an amazing showing considering he ran the 100 meters in 10.37 seconds. And he was asked why he would put himself through this. Was this just a PR stunt?
Working out. I mean, just to test my speed up against, you know, world-class athletes like this. You know, like I said, man, just had the opportunity to come out here and run against these guys was just a blessing.
Yeah, you weren't afraid of the risk of what might happen in terms of just your profile and just your speed on the field, which we all love to see. Why were you not afraid to risk it?
Because I'm a football player and an athlete first. And I'm a man of God. So, you know, I just do things because I want to do it.
So DK ended up coming in 15th out of a field of 17th in the U.S.
Did you hear what that question was? Like, hey, you weren't afraid to mm-hmm. Jeopardize your profile? Mm-hmm. There's so many of us that are held back in life because of our own insecurities and being afraid to fail. I got to tell you, Ursula, it's okay to fail. And you know what? I love the fact that DK Metcalf put himself out there and said, you know what? I'm going to go against the best. I love it.
He looked so good. And you know I love him anyway. So, I mean, but coming out 15th, you're talking about Olympic athletes, these runners. Yeah. And he was right in there. 10.37 seconds for the 100 meters. That's amazing. Mm. So he has nothing to hang his, you know, it is. He should be very proud. And it was a great showing. And good for him. Okay, still ahead. Did Jeffrey Epstein play a role in the divorce of Bill and Melinda Gates? We're going to be talking about that next. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show on Kyber Radio. So much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show, Monday morning edition. When Bill and Melinda Gates announced that they were calling it quits last week, the world was shocked. So many of us thought they were a rock solid couple. But now we're learning a little bit more about what may have led to this. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Melinda Gates had actually been meeting with divorce attorneys for several years, and she had called her marriage to Bill irretrievably broken. And one of her main concerns, according to the journal, was her husband's connection to Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, Jeffrey Epstein was the financier who was accused of soliciting all sorts of underage girls and basically having sex rings, et cetera, using underage girls. And then he either died by suicide, or there's some speculation that that's not how he died. I don't want to get in all that. However, so according to the Wall Street Journal, Epstein and Bill and Melinda Gates met in New York City back in 2013. And after that meeting, Melinda Gates was telling friends she thought he was really creepy And then she was furious that Bill Gates continued to meet with him. But by the time 2019 rolled around, Bill Gates said he was not friends with Epstein.
Okay. First, and like you said, according to the journal, and of course, right now we know that neither Bill nor Melinda have actually said what led to the split.
Correct.
Here's the thing that really sucks. It really sucks to have your name in the same headline or sentence as Jeffrey Epstein.
Correct.
That is just horrible, number one. Number two, I think that it's one thing for a significant other or to say, let's just say Melinda says, you know what, I got around that guy, I think he's creepy, or whatever the case might be, it's one thing. But I think it's a slippery slope. I'm not just talking about them. I'm just talking about it's a slippery slope to say that, oh, well, gee, you know that person and that person went to jail for this and you met with that person during that time. Because, look, I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all. In my lifetime, I've known some shady characters. You know what I mean? Like, I'm being serious, right? Mm-hmm. So I would hope that nobody would judge me and say, well, if you were around that person or you knew that person, then you should be connected to some of the things that they've done. And so all I'm saying is, Ursula, is Jeffrey Epstein is such a nasty person to be connected to. And the reason why Jeffrey Epstein exists and the reason why he was able to do as much as he did is because, let's be real, there was a lot of people that were protecting him. This is outside of the Gates, because in 2008, when he ended up serving his 18 months, actually only served 13 months, that should have been the end of Jeffrey Epstein then. But yet he was able to get out of jail, and then he didn't go back to jail again in 2019. Jeffrey Epstein should have been put away.
Absolutely. He did so much of the damage because so many people enabled him. I mean, I remember being on a cruise and we went by Jeffrey Epstein's island, and someone who worked with the cruise line was saying, you know, the things that they would do on this island. You know, yeah, there were a lot of people who hung out with Jeffrey Epstein. To think that Bill and Melinda Gates' divorce is tied to this, if at all, it might have been one thing. But you never know. I mean, just last week we heard about Bill Gates' connection to his ex-girlfriend and how he would have a weekend, you know, a week with her every single year. I think there's a lot of speculation because they're not talking. But I don't put too much onto this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Sure.
Another question, though. What happens with all that money that the couple has, and how much do their kids get? This was interesting, and apparently their kids are not obviously going to have to worry about anything. But long ago, Bill and Melinda Gates said their kids were not going to get most of their money.
Kids get a great education, but you've got to make sure they have a sense of their own ability and what they're going to go and do. You know, our philosophy has been, you know, to be very clear that most of the money is going to the foundation and, you know, help them find something they're excited about. We want to strike a balance where they have the freedom to do anything, but not sort of a lot of money showered on them so that they could go out and do nothing. And so far, they're, you know, fairly diligent, excited to, you know, pick their own direction.
Okay, from all reports and everything I've read about their kids, they are great kids. They have a 25-year-old, a 21-year-old, and an 18-year-old. They may end up getting $10 million each, which is plenty of money. But I love the fact that as rich as the Gates were, they were like, we're not just going to hand this money to our kids.
Right. And what a balance that has to be, right? To be able to have normal kids, if you will, like, or as close to normal as possible. I just don't know how normal is even possible when you have as much financial means as the Gates family has. So to be able to, like you're just saying right now, to get your kids normal and only $10 million compared to what their fortune is, I think that's fantastic to be able to do that. And it would.
Okay, now a lot of people are going to go, okay, $10 million? Like, Hello?
Wait, what?
I mean, that's a tremendous amount of money, too. But I think they kept their kids, even without the $10 million, they kept their kids very grounded. I think they were trying to, and I so appreciate people who are of means who do that and try to say, you know what, you need to learn how to work for a buck.
No doubt about it, $10 million is a lot of money to most of us that are listening. $10 million to the kids of the Gates family who are worth that much is a drop in the bucket, Ursula. You know that. And so I actually say kudos to, that's why we say only $10 million, because we say only $10 million compared to what the Bill and Melinda have. But I think that's impressive to do that. I mean, Ursula, would you do that to your kids if you had a whole lot of money and only give them $10
million? Absolutely. Even right now, I keep reminding my kids that you are very privileged. They would tell you that they are privileged. And they would tell you that they understand that they have things that, I mean, if I tell them one more time that I had to work three jobs to go through college, I think their eyes might be permanently stuck in the back of their head.
Ursula, when you just said that just now, I wish you could have seen my face. I was going to say, I've heard that one a lot of times, too.
Well, trust me. But you need to be reminded that what you have, if you are in a position where you don't have to work through college or you have it all paid or you get out of college without having a big fat debt, that's privilege. And you need to understand that not everybody has that. And you need to do something with it. And you need to make it worthwhile. Right.
Yes.
Business Insider says they're worth over $130 billion.
Okay, so yeah, so $10 million out of $130 billion, I guess, is a pittance, but still, for most of us, that would be life-changing.
I would think most parents would give their kids more than $10 million. Most parents. When I say most, 95% of parents, if they were... Chris Martin, how much you said that they were worth? Over $130 billion, and then you're going to give your three, so you give your, amongst your kids, $30 million because they have three. That's impressive. Hey, Ursula, do you like chocolate-covered strawberries?
I love them.
I'm going to explain to you and everyone else how chocolate-covered strawberries was the key to my phenomenal Mother's Day weekend. But it did not go as planned. I'll explain that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Coming up at 10:06, we give you three things that you need to know, including... what's going on with one of the cruise lines that is threatening to leave the state of Florida? But right now, Ursula, chocolate-covered strawberries. Okay.
And by the way, just so you know, Heather Bosch is hanging around. She apparently has a chocolate-covered strawberry story, too. So, okay. Talk to us about this.
Okay. So, I got everything together. I was on top of everything. Sent my mom all that stuff. So I had Lillian's stuff all prepared. I had her gift. I did it all on Saturday. On Saturday, I went to go out and I got some chocolate covered strawberries because my plan on Sunday when I woke up was to wake up and give the presentation of everything else, including these chocolate covered strawberries, which I got from Safeway. So it was a good little deal. It was four of them, big juicy things with chocolate all over it. So I knew that that Lillian likes to always clean out the refrigerator.
Lucky
well,
you.
She did that on Thursday, so I'm good to go. So on Saturday, I put it in the back of the refrigerator. So it's in the back of the refrigerator. Everything's good. Sunday morning, I wake up to get ready to go get my presentation. I go in the refrigerator. The strawberries are gone. I said, oh, no. I go to the garbage can. She had already gone in and thrown the chocolate-covered strawberries away. They were in the garbage. Ursula, I was hurt. I was upset. And I was disappointed, and I said, is there ever a time that I could ever get a holiday right? And then she told me, well, the reason why I threw them away is because they look so bad.
Okay, wait. I want to. I'm okay. Keep going. I want you. I don't want to hurt your story with facts, but just keep going.
Don't hurt my story with facts. Okay. The last part of it is, in all fairness, when I was getting ready, when they were in the bag, the strawberries kind of fail a little bit, and they hit the plastic. And they looked a little bad, but that's not the point.
But then they were in the back of the fridge too, where food goes to die. Gee.
Yes, but that's the point. Is I wasn't going to present them in that package. I was going to take them out and present them in another way. Sometimes you can't judge the product by the package.
Did she seriously have no idea that those were for her?
She said, according to her, like, she wasn't sure if she had missed it or if she had bought it, so she had no idea. They were in the trash.
I'm going to fend for Lillian, who's not part of this discussion, because I saw her exchange, and I'm just guessing that you probably put it in your car, your hot car, because it was kind of a warm day, and I'm guessing some heavy items came on top of it, so you probably smashed and smeared it, and so the chocolate was all smeared all over the plastic, and it's probably all bent, and she sees it at the back of your fridge and thinks, oh boy, this must have been, I must have missed it when I cleaned out the fridge on Thursday.
That's exactly what happened.
Gee, let me tell you, buddy, if that's the only kerfuffle you had on Mother's Day, you are fabulous. Let me tell you, I was reading your Facebook post going, oh, he's got the breakfast and the scents there and the whole thing. You nailed it, buddy. The strawberries are not a big deal. Yeah. I am giving you a pass on the strawberries.
Well, thank you. Shout out to Girardi's. That's where we went to go eat up in Edmonds. They kind of made me look real good. The food was excellent.
There you go. You are a success, sir, when it comes to Mother's Day.
Nice. See, I didn't even have to say anything. Heather said it all for me.
I had to buy my own flowers, too, so, you know.
Wait, what?
I'm
what?
Very sad.
Wait, what?
I bought my own flowers.
Okay, no.
They make me happy. I bought tulips.
Oh, no. Can I say something, though? You just actually brought us something with a little bit of time we have. For a bunch of people, Mother's Day is very painful.
Yes.
And for, you know, whether it's a loss of a child or maybe you've never had a child and people are, you know, posting all these pictures or maybe you have something going on in your relationship
died
or
late
or
last
you have,
year.
Exactly.
Yeah,
or you lost your mom.
It's tough. Yeah.
And you know, I thought about that as I was posting the pictures that I had. And I thought, you know what? You know, here I am all happy. But you got to know that moment only shares a little bit of what goes on in someone's life.
Yeah. But I have to tell you, your pictures made me happy.
Okay.
Despite that big loss last year. I enjoyed reading about the strawberries. I enjoyed the pictures of you and your family. And I enjoyed buying my flowers.
Well, I want to say belated happy Mother's Day because you
and
are
you.
An amazing mom.
Oh, thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. And leave it to Ursula and Heather Bosch to make me feel better about
you
my chocolate covered with strawberries.
You did great.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Hey, coming up next, there's three things that you need to know. One of them being why a cruise line wants to leave the state of Florida. We explain that next. It's G and Ursula.